Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Okay, we've got a few emails we can zip through here. 1:43, 17 minutes before 2 o'clock on Team 1260. We are, of course, Nation Radio, live at the Pint this afternoon, 109th and Jasper. Don't forget the Pint having their opening of their new Pint on White Avenue on St. Patty's Day. So that's just coming around the corner. This is from Summit talking about the Chara hit. Many people are criticizing the league for not suspending Chara. However, Bruins are my second favorite team after the Oilers, so I may be a bit biased. I don't think it was a suspendable hit and the huge issue because of two factors. Pacioretty got injured and he's a Hab. Last game, Doughty got a similar hit from Umbarger. I'm not sure who, but he came back and played. So no calls from no one pulling sponsorship and no police investigation. Well, I think some of that, you know, we're close to an election year, right? And sometimes things get a little wonky in Canada or the U.S., and politicians jump in and some things are said, and that's happened in the past, and it'll happen again. The Chara hit, as I saw it, was, I think they call it right on the ice, get him off the ice, number one. Pacioretty was hurt, and it's unfortunate, but at least part of the blame, I think, has to go to the design of the building or every building, if the stanchion is part of it. It happened to Ryan Smith a few years ago, I remember. I don't recall a suspension on that, but it was definitely a play that Smith was injured in, and it was pretty frightening. So nothing happened after that one. Hopefully some safety measures are taken after this one, the Pacioretty hit, courtesy of Zdeno Chara. This is from MSG. When is Lowe going to get rid of Hemsky? Well, you know, it's probably coming. You know, I think that Alex Hemsky is at a point in terms of age. He was drafted in 2001, so he's about, 27 this summer. The Edmonton Oilers rebuild. The Dustin Penner trade means their rebuild starts with the Taylor Hall pick, I believe. So in the next probably, I would say, year or so, the Oilers are going to be the Taylor Hall Oilers as opposed to the Alex Hemsky Oilers or the Sam Gagne Oilers. And Hemsky has to be re-signed this summer. They may come to him with a contract. And if he doesn't sign it, then it's likely that we're going to be looking at Alex Hemsky leaving maybe as early as the draft. Okay. We have on the line with us from the Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play announcer Jim Beyer. Jim, how are you?
How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm very well, Jim. My first question for you, and I it's a math question, and I apologize, but I have been trying to figure out in a way that takes 10 minutes or less to explain the Oklahoma City Barons' playoff chances. Can you help me with that?
Sure. You know, it is a little complicated because in the American Hockey League, the way it is right now, there are 15 teams in each conference. And eight teams will make the playoffs out of each conference. And in the Barons situation, we're in the Western Division. There's eight teams in our division. There's seven teams in the other division in our conference. And theoretically, four teams from each division make the playoffs. But if the fifth place team in our division, which has more clubs, has a better record than the fourth place team in the Northern Division, then our fifth place team will make it.
Okay.
And that's the crossover system. So when you see where the Barons are in the standings, you know, the number to look at really right now is fifth place because
okay.
It's likely, although not guaranteed, that the fifth place club in the Barons division will make the playoffs at the expense of the fourth place team in the other one. But not etched in stone, and those North Division clubs are getting a little better. So, you know, it's really almost too far away to, you know, get an accurate percentage prediction, let's say, who might make the playoffs out of the North and then the West Division because everybody is just so close.
And the Oilers keep trying to send you help, but the injuries keep popping up. I think Giroux was on his way down before the Gagne injury, but they had to keep him up.
Yeah, that was a situation that it was great for Giroux. He's had another good year, and you know he's a real true goal scorer and a guy that is very popular with his teammates. Certainly would have helped our playoff chances if he had been able to stay down here, but that's not really what we're here for, obviously, and we like to see guys go up. But, you know, the injury that kept Giroux up there is certainly poses a bigger challenge for Oklahoma City, which we had become a rather low-scoring team over the last month, even with Giroux, and it was a tougher sledding without him. But last night, six goals and an overtime win, so some young guys sort of took up the slack last night. So we'll see how things go here down the stretch with about a month to go.
who are the heroes last night? I know Harda Kanen played well. Who else really helped the victory?
Well, a rookie out of Yale, an undrafted rookie named Mark Arcabello, who spent most of the year in the ECHL out in Stockton, he had two goals and assisted on the game winner in overtime, plus he had an assist. And Arcabello's a guy that was an extra forward for us, but he's started to play quite well. There's also a defenseman who spent most of the year in Stockton out of Boston College in his second year, Anthony Aiello, his first year at the AHL level. He had a three-point night as well. So those two guys, along with Timo, really stepped up. And it was a really good effort last night. This Grand Rapids club, which is Detroit's team, hasn't had many player moves this year. They haven't sent that many guys to the Red Wings, but the core AHL guys that they have are really quite good. So it proved to be a pretty interesting game, and the Barons have them again tonight.
Arcabello and Aiello, are they on AHL contracts or are they Oiler kids?
Arcabello was on an AHL contract, so he was actually assigned by us to Stockton.
Okay.
Both of them were in camp with us. Aiello is technically on a professional tryout, as they say, at the AHL level. So he's not on an AHL deal. He's on a professional tryout contract. But Arcabello is on an AHL deal and was with us in camp, actually opened the season with us but didn't play. He was on the roster at the start of the year and then was loaned to Stockton and has been recalled back here to the AHL. He's been with the Barons now for probably going on about a month in this stint.
Okay. When the Dustin Penner trade came down, we're familiar with Colton Tubert, having seen him play in the Western League out here. Some of us felt he might have a little more offensive ability than he had maybe shown with Manchester. It looks as though he scored a couple of goals in five games down there, plus two. Looks like he's bringing a little more complete game to Oklahoma City.
Yes, he has. He was saying in an interview with us that he, you know, even with the wrist injury, he had always fashioned a really good shot, and he works on trying to get the shot through from the point, which, you know, in today's game, it's not always easy to get those shots through. And he did score in each of his first two games with the Barons. One of those was a tying goal with 17 seconds left last weekend against the Flames Club from Abbotsford. So that was a very timely goal. He's shown a rocket of a shot here, and he does have two goals and an assist already and has shown the kind of defensive grit that everybody thought he would have. But while he's not necessarily what you would call a guy that might see a lot of power play time at the next level, he has shown good instincts as to when to pinch, and he's shown a pretty good shot so far. So I think that he may end up showing a little bit more offense at this level, especially as he gets more comfortable than it looked like he would from the beginning.
Kevin Montgomery came over at the deadline from Colorado's organization for Sean Bell. What kind of player is he, and how has he looked so far?
You know, he's looked pretty good, too. He had a nice game last night. He had an assist, and Montgomery and Tubert are paired together. That was not their original plan, but when Alex Plott went up to the NHL, that kind of mixed up the pairings, and Tubert and Montgomery have adjusted quite well. Montgomery is not the physical force that Tubert is. He theoretically is a little bit more of a puck mover, I think, than Tubert. Might be a little bit faster skater, not as big a guy. Montgomery's just kind of one of those defensemen that he's sort of a jack-of-all-trades. He's a defensive guy by nature, but has enough skill to move the puck and maybe get a little odd power play time here and there. And he's a guy that only had a couple of goals, three goals, I think, with Lake Erie this year. A couple of them proved to be game winners. But you know, he's an American-born kid that played some for the U.S. national team in the World Junior Championships. So you know, he's a guy that's experienced the game at some high levels, and I think it's a guy that could contribute down the line as sort of a guy that can fill a variety of roles back there on the blue line.
This is Nation Radio on Team 1260, Edmonton Sports Radio. We're live at the Pint. This is Alan Mitchell along with Jim Beyer from Oklahoma City, the Barons pay-by-pay announcer. Oilers signed a college man, Tyler Fadoon, about a week or so ago. Hasn't played yet. Is he down there or is he practicing with the team or...?
He is, you know, if he's arrived today, I'm not sure. With this being the third game in three nights and all, I did not get to the building today. I don't know if they really even did anything this morning down there. Getting ready to head to the rink, actually, here in a little while. Fadoon was not in town yesterday. He's finishing up his schooling at Princeton, and he's about to hit spring break. So he is due to join us, if not today, then for a nine-game road trip that we have starting on Tuesday in Peoria. The situation with Fadun is he's trying to finish up his senior project and finish up his degree at Princeton, and he's going to do that. And if he can play with the Barons in and around that, he might in this upcoming road trip. I don't know if he'll be here today. I haven't been able to verify that. But, you know, he's a guy that if he plays, it'll probably be in just sort of a supplemental role. Right now, pretty much all the defensive spots are pretty much filled, but I think they'd like to take a look at him. So I think they're going to take him on the trip, whether he gets here today or joins us for the road trip. Either way, he'll probably debut with us here in the next week or so. And then he most likely will not be with us at the tail end of the regular season because he'll be going back to school.
A couple of quick ones here, Jim, before we leave you. Chris Van de Velde, he's a big centerman. He's a little older than most of these kid prospects who've turned pro last fall. How has his overall game looked?
You know, it's been pretty good of late. His stats are still a little off kilter. You know, he's got about 11 goals now on the year. He scored goals in two straight. Had a goal last night, a fairly important goal as well. Had a goal the night before. You know, he's his plus-minus is still a bit on the ugly side, but he fell behind early in that, and it's been hard for him to get back to square in the plus-minus category. I think he's done a pretty nice job on that third or fourth line. You know, he hasn't always been paired with the type of line mates that are going to allow him to pick up a lot of assists along the way, so his assist total is a little lower than you think it might be for a centerman. But I think he's a guy that still has a chance down the road to see time at the higher levels. If you were right now just judging his season this year, I'd say it'd be kind of a mixture. There's been some good stretches, some other stretches where things haven't fared as well, but that's kind of been the way the whole team has been. By and large, it's been a positive year down here, but there have been a couple of stretches where things have been a little harder to come by. But I think he just needs a little bit more time at this level and maybe a little more experience in different situations, but he's been a solid penalty killer and has been a good draw man. He's been good on draws this year. And so, you know, I think he's still somebody worth hanging on to and giving another look next fall in NHL camp and then maybe another tour through the AHL. You know, he just kind of gets used to the pro game after being in college in North Dakota.
Jim, thanks so much for your time. It's really appreciated.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Jim Beyer, play-by-play man from the Oklahoma City Barons. And you can listen online, by the way, if you go to the AHL.com. They can put you right through and listen to him. He's a very good play-by-play man, and that's an interesting team. Coming up next week, we'll be definitely talking to E.J. McGuire, I promise, and we'll also have Jonathan Willis back. This is Nation Radio every Saturday between noon and 2 on Team 1260 Radio. Coming up next, we've got Live at Gretzky's, and don't forget to tune in later on this afternoon to Jeff Cashel's terrific show. Thanks very much.